The artificial intelligence industry is producing genuinely extraordinary numbers right now, and I want to start with NVIDIA. Because Jensen Huang's disclosure that quarterly revenue is approaching $100 billion deserves context. For reference, Apple, the most valuable company in history for much of the last decade, generates roughly $95 billion in revenue per quarter. NVIDIA is now approaching that figure from a standing start in the AI compute business that didn't really exist 5 years ago. AI chip executives are publicly describing demand as unlimited and talking about value maxing, essentially optimizing their companies for peak valuation extraction during what they see as a generational demand cycle.
That language, unlimited demand, is worth interrogating, and we will in our What If We're Wrong segment later. But first, the Altman-Musk conflict, which escalated significantly over the weekend. Sam Altman publicly accused Elon Musk of misleading investors about SpaceX's orbital data center plans, specifically about the commercial viability of computing in orbit. Musk had called Altman a scammer. Altman's response was pointed. He said Musk is selling investors on orbital computing infrastructure that doesn't pencil out economically. This is partly a business rivalry and partly a genuine technical dispute about whether putting data centers in orbit makes sense at scale.
The SpaceX Starmind Orbital AI project is the vehicle in question, and it's drawing serious competitive attention from Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, and Microsoft Azure. SpaceX's argument for orbital computing centers on latency advantages for certain applications and the ability to serve regions without terrestrial infrastructure. The counterargument, which Altman is essentially making, is that the cost per compute unit in orbit is orders of magnitude higher than ground-based alternatives. And no enterprise customer is going to pay that premium for the marginal benefits. Goldman Sachs is forecasting Micron as the top beneficiary of the orbital AI buildout, presumably because high-performance memory is a bottleneck regardless of where the compute lives. James Murdoch's SpaceX stake is now valued at $7.5 billion. So the people with skin in the game are not exactly disinterested observers.
Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella also weighed in on AI economics in a way that cuts against the euphoria. He warned that companies are effectively paying twice for AI tools, once for the tool subscription, and again for the compute costs, integration work, and productivity losses during adoption. This is a sobering counterpoint to the unlimited demand narrative. Enterprises are buying AI, but many are discovering the total cost of ownership is substantially higher than the headline license fee suggested.
There's also a philosophical fault line opening up in the AI industry around open versus closed frontier models. Zhipu's founder, Zhipu is one of China's leading AI labs, argued publicly that frontier AI should be open to all. This echoes arguments you hear from Meta's Lekhan and others in the open weights camp. The practical implication is that if frontier-level AI becomes genuinely open source, it dramatically changes the pricing power that OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google DeepMind currently enjoy. Palantir's CEO has been attacking AI labs' pricing models, and Galaxy's Mike Novogratz publicly backed that critique. There's a growing coalition of enterprise buyers pushing back on what they see as extractive pricing.
This is actually a good place for our curriculum corner, because the pricing critique connects directly to antitrust law. The question of whether AI labs have monopoly power is going to be one of the defining legal fights of the next decade, and the legal framework matters. The Sherman Act, passed in 1890 and still the foundational U.S. antitrust statute, prohibits monopolization and attempted monopolization of markets. The critical legal distinction that most people miss is that having a large market share is not itself illegal. What the Sherman Act prohibits is using monopoly power to exclude competition or harm consumers. A company can legally have 90% market share if it got there by genuinely competing better. The violation occurs when a dominant firm takes actions, predatory pricing, exclusive dealing arrangements, tying products together, specifically designed to prevent rivals from competing fairly. Applied to AI, if OpenAI has dominant market share in enterprise AI assistance, that's not automatically a legal problem. It becomes a problem if they're, say, striking exclusive chip supply agreements that prevent rivals from accessing compute or bundling products in ways that force enterprise customers to use GPT rather than competitors. The Apple lawsuit that's now looming over ChatGPT's iOS outage this weekend is interesting precisely because it raises questions about whether the distribution relationship between Apple and OpenAI has exclusionary elements that disadvantage rival AI apps on iOS.
That's exactly the right framing, Marcus. The ChatGPT iOS outage itself was a significant reliability story. OpenAI's primary consumer product was down on Apple's platform over the weekend, but the Apple lawsuit angle is the more structurally important story. If Apple is found to have preferenced certain AI providers over others through its App Store mechanics, that's the kind of conduct the Sherman Act was designed to address.